Almost 1 year on from the independence of South Sudan, the needs and challenges facing people in the world's newest nation remain immense. That's according to the Global Catholic Confederation Caritas Internationalis, which runs both emergency aid programs and longer-term development projects there. Caritas Communications Officer Laura Sheehan has just returned from a fact-finding visit to the border area of Abyei, where fighting flared a year ago as both cartoons and the southern forces sought control ahead of the Declaration of Independence on July the 9th. Expectations then ran very high, and Laura says there's still a new sense of self-determination, despite the vast needs for infrastructure, electricity, clean water, or health and education systems. She shared with me some heart-rending stories, but also some examples of courage and an indomitable will to help build peace in this resource-rich nation.
We went to various places in South Sudan, but our first stop was right on the border. And there were areas where people had basically fled attacks last year in May 2011. Their homes were destroyed. They were running in the night from bombs, and they all sort of fled south about a half hour, an hour's drive, where now over 100,000 people are staying basically in this sort of wasteland area, no electricity, not much shelter. Caritas is helping them build shelters, not much health care, so it's very difficult.
What kind of stories did you hear from people? Many of these had fled there, but had also had stories of fleeing for the past 10, 20, 30 years.
It's true. A lot of these people have really been unwanted in various parts of the area. They've been in different places and basically been sent away or forced to run for their lives. One woman's story was particularly heartrending because she had lived in Khartoum for quite a while, then lived in a place called Abyei for a few months. And then when that place was attacked, she had to run with her children and her mother to save their lives. And they were walking in the heat for days as they escaped, and they didn't have a lot of water. They had no food. And the mother, who was somewhat ill to begin with, she actually died on the journey. And when they got to a place where they thought they could stay, the community there wouldn't let them stay, wouldn't let them bury the mother there. So they actually had to keep going to another place just to bury the mother. So it was really a sad situation, and this is repeated over and over again for thousands of people.
What kind of help, what kind of support is Caritas giving to these communities?
It depends on the area of South Sudan. In the border areas, as I said, we're helping with shelter. We're helping people build sort of thatch huts with, we're giving them poles and plastic sheeting for the roof because there are severe rains at certain times of the year. We're also giving out just emergency supplies like mosquito nets. Malaria is a serious problem. It's a huge killer of people in South Sudan. We're giving mosquito nets, buckets, pieces of cloth that people can use to make clothing or use as sheets or blankets. So we're giving them just the basic supplies they need to live for the time being. One thing we're also doing is we're teaching the teachers, who many of them know Arabic, we're teaching them English because the language of the new country is English. So these are good teachers, and they know what they're doing, but they just don't know the new curriculum. So there are so many challenges in this new nation, basic challenges of not having electricity or roads or water systems, the challenges of a whole new government, a whole new school curriculum. So it's a lot of work for a lot of people, and I was really impressed with the courage of the South Sudanese people, who just felt like we have to build the nation.
And yet so difficult in a country which, as you say, lacks almost everything from the most basic infrastructure to any kind of security.
Exactly. It's a very dangerous country on many levels, not just because of the fact that people have guns or because there are still unexploded bombs or landmines, but simply the bugs and the insects, the mosquitoes, the tsetse flies. I think there's still a bit of guinea worm there. The water isn't clean. The roads aren't good. So if you're a woman and you're about to have a baby and you need to get to a clinic, you know, it's going to be really hard for you to get there. Maternal mortality and infant mortality are very high there. It's really very sad. So yeah, it's just a very hard country to live in. But a lot of people who have been living in other countries, either as refugees or sort of as second-class citizens who were not wanted, they have come back to South Sudan. And even though it's very hard for them there, they're committed to building this nation.
What kind of hope do people have? At independence itself, there was a lot of enthusiasm, great expectations as well. By the sounds of your stories and what you saw, many of these simply have not been met 1 year on. What kind of hope do people still have that they can develop this country and build a life for themselves?
One thing I heard from several people that I think is a good sign of hope is that the level of what I would call vigilante violence has gone down a bit in the past year. People realize, you know, this is our country now. We're responsible for it. You know, we can't keep fighting. You know, it's time to sort of put down the guns. So for years and years, the situation there was so insecure that many families would get a gun to protect themselves. And then it sort of spiraled into this culture where even if there weren't people from outside attacking them, if they had sort of a quarrel with another family, the way they would solve it might be with a gun. There's also a lot of cattle raiding there. But one thing I heard from several people was that those sort of incidents still exist and are widespread, but they have reduced. And the idea is that, okay, you know, we're responsible for our country. We have to make this work. We have to figure out better ways to solve our problems.
Caritas also runs reconciliation, conflict resolution programs, doesn't it, as part of its work there?
Yes, Caritas is involved in a lot of peace-building programs throughout the world. In South Sudan, one thing the church as a whole is doing, not just Caritas, is there's a Catholic radio network there, and they talk a lot about peace. One thing that struck me that a priest said was that in some little pockets of South Sudan, you know, there's no TV, there's no electricity. Some people have these battery-powered radios, but in some pockets, people might not know that the long civil war is over. You know, they've been in this state of emergency for so long that especially if they don't speak English or Arabic, they might not hear in their own language that, you know, the war is over. So what these Catholic radio stations are doing is they have programming in many different languages, just like Vatican Radio. And they're trying to tell people, okay, here's the situation now. It's peacetime. We need to solve our problems constructively and peacefully. And they also give examples to families. They say, okay, you know, if this has happened, if your cattle have been raided, you don't have to go and shoot a person. Here's something else you can do to settle the matter in a way that both parties might feel is fair. So I think that what the radio stations are doing is very helpful, and I hope that that word spreads.
How strong is the presence of the church there?
The church is very, very active in South Sudan for many years, for decades. The church was really the only one providing services because the government could not or would not provide these in the past. So it was the church that was building up schools. It was the church that was working on water issues. It was the church that was providing health care. And that's still going on because, you know, the country still needs a lot of development. So I went to one town where they said, all the water here is from Caritas, all the clean water. You know, every time you take a shower, it's because of Caritas. And this was a diocese where a lot of different Caritases from the West had also been able to help out. Caritas Belgium, Caritas France, Secours Catholique, you know, just so many different Caritases had been able to work with this diocese. And the diocesan people did a great job in just building up the water system. And it makes a huge difference in terms of people's health, of course.
The needs there clearly are still enormous. You're clearly continuing to fund a lot of these projects. What message would you have to people? How can those who want to get involved, want to help, best lend their support to this new nation?
Well, what I find encouraging is that people there really are committed to making this work. In the past, it might have been that, oh, you build up a school and, you know, maybe 10 years down the line, it might be destroyed because there was this ongoing war and just general insecurity and violence. Now, the people are like, we have a country. We're independent now. We want this to work. We want our children to get a good education. We want health care. We want better roads. So I think that for Caritas and a lot of other charities working there, and just for the church in general, it's optimistic to think that everything will be perfect in a year. But I do think there are grounds to believe that what people start working on now is going to have a much better chance of lasting, whether it's a school or a clinic or a good road or anything else.
My thanks there to Laura Sheehan, Communications Officer for Caritas Internationalis, the Global Catholic Aid and Development Confederation.